How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Natterney Fashon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to the Story Walking Radio Hour, a creative environmental education experience. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney Fashon, here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, which is the media partner for Omega Institute. For a full schedule of Dream Vision 7 radio programming, go to dreamvision7radio.com. You will find the Story Walking Radio Hour show listed under the Sustainable Living tab, or you can access it through my website at storywalking.com. For exceptional environmental education inspiration and resources, look up Green Teacher, a Canada-based global network whose mission is to enhance environmental literacy among young learners by equipping environmental educators in all educational contexts with innovative, inclusive, relevant, evidence-based resources. The organization's quarterly Green Teacher magazine offers perspectives on the role of education in creating a sustainable future. Each issue is filled with practical articles, ready-to-use activities, and reviews of new educational resources. To see what it's all about and to subscribe, go to www.greenteacher.com. Each month, the Story Walking Radio Hour investigates a different aspect of environmental education as it relates to the sustainable living choices we make in our everyday lives. We decide what we eat, what we air, what we wear, what kind of car we drive, or whether we take public transportation to get around. For many of us, a career choice is an intentional decision we can make in order to play a more active role in the growing a greener economy. In this particular episode, we are going to focus on exploring green career pathways. Our guest, Audra Lavoie, MPA, is a career development practitioner with over 10 years of work in workforce, higher education, and business. Today, she serves University of Rhode Island undergraduate students from a variety of majors, including those in the College of Environmental and Life Sciences. Audra has experience in recruitment, internship programming, advising, and extensive resume writing. Her strength is in normalizing the challenges and changes involved in the career search process. Now, I remember struggling with career decisions back in my college days. Like, what did I want to do? What did I want to be? Gosh, I changed my major 3 times, switching from pre-med to math and then French. The word change continued to define my career exploration pathway. And after graduating in 1980, I took a job in a field that had nothing to do with French. It was book publishing. I went to New York City, which is where most of the major publishing houses are located. And I worked in the art department of Pocketbooks, the paperback division of Simon & Schuster. One of my responsibilities was to read manuscripts and write descriptive reports for the designers and illustrators to refer to in creating book cover artwork. One of these manuscripts was a science fiction novel, Timescape, by Gregory Benford. I wrote a report and suggested a cover design concept describing the planet Earth surrounded by a series of concentric rings, looking as if it had been dropped like a stone into a body of still water. The image was suggestive of cause and effect, space and time. And the art director liked the concept, and he went with it. Now, I mention this because last month, while cleaning out some personal file folders that had been in long-term storage up in our attic, I found a color proof of the Timescape book cover, and I showed it to my husband, Dean. I had completely forgotten what the story was about. However, Dean recognized the author, found the book online, and purchased an original edition. So, I decided to take myself back in time by rereading the story. And I want to tell you something about this experience. Now, if you have pencil and paper handy, I suggest you write down the dates I mention as I go along here. This will kind of help to put the story into meaningful context. Timescape was written in 1980. Its pages flip through time back and forth between 1998 and 1962. Physicists working in England in 1998 attempt to send a coded message back through space and time to scientists living in an earlier time. The message is a warning about ecological collapse on a global scale, and the intent of the message is to save the world from a future that has already occurred. Unusual signals arriving in a form resembling Morse code are received by a physicist in La Jolla, California in 1962. When he presents his data to his colleagues, he is subject to much skepticism and ridicule by many of them. A few colleagues, however, are intrigued, and so a small team comprised of open-minded physicists, chemists, and biologists collaborate to understand and solve the problem described through the messaging. The problem is a deadly algal bloom that is growing way out of control and poisoning the entire planet. Having just reread the book, Here and Now, in 2022, I am thinking back to the lack of environmental awareness I had in 1980. That was 42 years ago. And since then, I've navigated a series of seemingly disconnected career changes. And I finally ended up here and now, hosting a radio hour that explores ecological problems and hopeful solutions through the observations and experiences of scientists, science educators, and other professionals. As I look back, I'm thinking to myself, my, what a strange career path I've been traveling. I stayed in publishing for just 1 year. It was a great experience. I enjoyed the people with whom I worked, and I learned a lot. However, trying to live in New York City on a $10,000 annual salary was unsustainable. Besides that, after a year, I was ready to learn something new and continue to build my skill set. My father, who is familiar with career changes himself, coached me through many transitions, and he often wrote long, thoughtful letters. On one occasion, he wrote, quote, "While one must not become too impatient if a job is not challenging enough, one must also be careful not to stay on a plateau for too extended a time. In other words, try to have your learning curve remain at a good angle, and if it begins to drop, think about how it can be moved back up and what you can do to move it. There are times when you'll have to assert yourself. I think that you've done that already and are capable of doing this comfortably and graciously." Unquote. My exploratory path moved forward through many changes. And then at the age of 50, as my children disappeared into middle school, I decided to try my hand at something really different: selling health insurance. After studying for insurance licensing exams, passing those, and undergoing training, I began knocking on a lot of doors, and had to face a lot of rejection. The insurance broker shoes just did not fit me at all. I learned some tough lessons. The demands of the job failed to align with my strengths, aptitudes, and real interests. I needed to find a better match. I was questioning the direction of my career path for the umpteenth time, and this time I was craving vocation with real purpose. Purpose. What is purpose? Purpose is what gives us meaning in our lives, and purpose is unique for everyone. What you identify as your purpose and pathway will be different from mine. What's more, our purposes and pathways can actually shift and change throughout life in response to societal shifts, personal experiences, influences, and evolving priorities. We are constantly returning to the important questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I fit? How can I contribute? And what does this mean to me? As I was returning to these questions at age 50 in the year 2009, I received a cryptic message from an unexpected source. The message was as mysterious to me in its own way as the message received by the Timescape scientists. Part of it went like this. Just walk, listen, and use what you are given. Full understanding is not necessary at this time. Like a book, just keep turning the pages to eventually reach the end. This book will be delivered one page at a time, like Dickens installments in a Victorian newspaper. Adopting this message in its literal sense, I began walking every day. And I started finding esoteric objects. Then I started journaling about my walks. Journaling, by the way, is a helpful exercise to do in the face of career uncertainty. So what sorts of things did I write about? I wrote about the things I found and the thoughts that they conjured up or inspired. On one particular day, I found a leather-bound journal standing upright in the middle of the road. I felt as if it had been standing there waiting for me. I picked it up. The leather was a deep burgundy red color, and the cover was stamped with a symbol representing the third eye. The third eye is one of seven chakras or spiritual energy points associated with a location within the human physical body. The third eye is associated with the pineal gland, which sits in the middle of the brain behind the forehead. The third eye is sometimes described as the mind's eye, the powerful eye of one's imagination and creative consciousness. It is also referred to as the knowing eye of intuition, or the source of psychic ability. All really cool stuff to me. Anyway, opening the journal, I found the imprint of a lipstick kiss on the inside cover, like a mouth ready to speak its secrets. The first page had been torn out of the book. However, on the next page was an abstract drawing of strange faces and creatures. The drawing was simple yet expressive, making it open to interpretation. My interpretation of the drawing was colored by a recent experience, a science fiction movie I'd been watching the night before, as a matter of fact. And in this movie, the universe was being terrorized by a merciless race of hideous beings. In the drawing of the journal, I saw what I determined to be a personification of evil attempting to strangle a happy planet that I determined to be Earth. And despite the presence of the evil, Earth was just continuing to smile as if nothing was wrong. Turning to the next page, I found a phone number written upside down and at an awkward angle across the page. That's all. And the phone number ended with an extension, 127, which was underlined 3 times. Curious. I turned the page again and found a silly poem. It read, "I love you, don't be blue. We won't be askew, so don't boo-hoo thinking of you, whoop-dee-doo." The poem was surrounded with samples of a person's signature, Emily something, written several times. The way someone practices a signature with the last name of a girl's schoolgirl's crush. One of the signatures at the top of the page had a halo drawn over the E of Emily. The rest of the journal pages were blank, just waiting to be filled. Upon returning home, I went into our study, where one entire wall is bookshelves, floor to ceiling. An overflow of books laid in scattered piles across the floor and in front of the shelves. From a shelf on the opposite side of the room, I finally pulled out a reference book titled Angel Numbers 101, because I wanted to look up the meaning of that underlined number, 127, the extension of the phone number. Now, according to Angel Numbers 101, number 127 means you're on the right path, stay positive, and keep doing what you're doing. Such a fun book, anyway. I do that a lot. Look up numbers. I studied the signatures more and determined that Emily's last name was Martin, Emily Martin. On a whim, I Googled Emily Martin, which took me to emilymartin.com and a page about a book exhibit that had just opened in San Francisco. The exhibit, mysteriously titled Exploding the Codex, was about books and storytelling. And I read, quote, "These books go beyond the traditional format to unveil new ways of presenting and telling stories. Often theatrical or stage-like in their presentation, they pull the viewer into their individual dramas and diverse varieties of form and presentation. The exhibition explores the ways in which a book's size and dimensions determine our relationship to it and what it's trying to tell us. We can choose between the intimacy of a tiny journal, private and curious, easily hidden as if keeping a secret between reader and teller." Unquote. That is what I read, and in that moment, it's kind of funny, I imagined myself like an actress standing on a stage, surrounded by bookshelves and holding a mysterious journal in my hand, a secret codex. And I was being pulled into storytelling of the most unconventional nature. Of course, it was all symbolic, and yet it was a powerful message. And so, I share this message now because I believe it is meant for all of us. It is this: we each author our own life narratives through our responses to our personal situations, our thoughts, our words, and our choices of action. Life is filled with mystery and uncertainty, which often requires us to be patient as things continue to play out. And it requires us to respond creatively and positively. The Timescape narrative about career scientists and their choices exemplifies this notion of a life filled with mystery and uncertainty. And so, I encourage you to keep these thoughts in mind as we hear from our guest about the messiness of the career search process, about normalizing the challenges and changes involved in the process, and about our ongoing search for meaning. You're listening to the Storywalking Radio Hour. The purpose and mission of the Storywalking Radio Hour is to open minds and foster positive difference-making here on planet Earth. As we gain a better understanding of various environmental problems, we can develop and share sensible solutions and start taking collective action. If you have a suggestion for a sustainability or environmental topic, perhaps something you already know a lot about, or something you're curious to learn more about, please send me an email or text. My email is storywalkerwendy@gmail.com, and my phone is 401-529-6830. I am open to suggestions as long as they align with sustainability and environmental education. Okay, it's time for our first station break here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. And I ask you to please visit the storywalking.com website to learn more about this show. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney Fashon, and I'll be returning in a moment to introduce our guest, Audra Lavoie, Career Education Specialist at the University of Rhode Island. We're talking about exploring green career pathways. Please stay tuned.
How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Natterney Fashon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
How can parents help their teenage children navigate the challenging years between childhood and adulthood? How might parents continue to gently exert a positive influence during this critical stage of growth and development? Read The Difference Maker, written by parent and story walking radio host Wendy Natterney Fashon. This book shares the story of her late son Neil, their relationship, and the wisdom of an enlightened teenager. The Difference Maker is a coming-of-age collection of stories that parents can share and discuss with their kids. Go to the storywalking.com website, download The Difference Maker, and become inspired.
Why would God design a heart-shaped flower that cries? In a picture book titled The Angel Heart, a curious child picks such a flower and carefully pulls it apart, one poetic petal at a time, to reveal the answer. Discover the miracle of the heart and its role in providing comfort, joy, and peace. Written in the language of love, this uplifting story is sure to open up conversations about emotions, spiritual beliefs, the circle of life, or even fairy magic. Give your favorite child the gift of love. The Angel Heart by Wendy Natterney Fashon. Available through Amazon and Balboa Press.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the Story Walking Radio Hour here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney Fashon, and today we're talking about exploring green career pathways with our guest, Audra Lavoie, Career Education Specialist at the University of Rhode Island. Hello, Audra. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, okay, let's start with your personal story, because I always like to start there. How did you come to find yourself in career counseling?
Yeah, so I really appreciate your story and hearing your path, because I think there's a whole career theory called happenstance, which is kind of about curiosity and discovery and keeping continually following the things that interest you. And I hear it in your story, and it's mine and it's many other people's. But I feel like I kind of fell into it in a really funny way. From the time I was little, I've kept a list of jobs that interest me, and I've had, you know, somewhere between 30 and 50. And when I went to school, I changed my major just like you did. I changed it 4 times, only to graduate with exactly where I started in the beginning anyways. And so when I left college, I was just as confused. And there are a couple of pivot points that kind of led me here. So I left college, I went into business, and then I went into two different AmeriCorps programs. And if people aren't familiar with AmeriCorps, it's a domestic service program. So it's all about what can you do to help out your community. And I was able to work in therapeutic horse riding and with the Nature Conservancy and doing invasive species removal and homeland security. I went into emergency management, all these different things. And that exposure to me all of a sudden made a lot of things make sense. And I thought I would have a career in emergency management. And so I used to work for the Federal Emergency Management Agency and worked in disaster relief for a while, and then decided to make that pivot, just like you. There's always something where you want to learn more or kind of engage differently, and I went and transitioned to Roger Williams Park Zoo. And so that was my second big pivot point. And there I managed the volunteer and internship programs, and that's when I discovered that career services was actually a thing. So I was in the middle of a master's program, and I was working with students who were confused about their pathway, and it is confusing, and it can be nerve-wracking, but I think it's also really exciting. And so all of a sudden I saw, like, all these skills that I have and the excitement I have for it, and it kind of perfectly matched up. But I had to make another pivot. So that was discovery, and then I spent time being a resume writer and really leading in a professional association. I worked in a workforce agency. And then 5 years ago, I was able to transition to URI. And so I started by working with their alumni, and then now I'm working with their students. So it was super curvy, but when I look back, it all makes sense now.
Yeah. Okay, so where do you begin? How do you help students, college undergraduates, just begin to explore and navigate this whole challenging process of career development and career exploration?
Yeah, it is really challenging. It is really confusing. The more pressure you put on it, the more it gets kind of frustrating and overwhelming. And so normalizing to me is one of those big, big pieces. I always push for exposure and experience. Like, you have to have exposure and understand and learn what's even out there and existing. And that is a moving target that changes all the time. And then at the same time, you want to build experience. We kind of do things backwards sometimes. Like, we invest in education and training, but we don't always know and understand that field. So when it comes to working with students and preparing them, one is knowing that everyone feels confused, and that's just everyone I meet with, that's what they talk about. They think everyone else has it figured out. They feel frustrated. Mm-hmm. They're unsure what's out there, like all those things that start building up. So we talk a lot about what interests you, what skills do you want to use, what do you want that place to look like. We're trying to kind of start building that picture, but at the same time, I want to take the pressure off of them. And the biggest thing that I don't think students realize, because I didn't realize it when I was in that learner position, is that a student is actually a super powerful position. If you want, you can take control over this learning. And that can be, I'm going to be really curious and say, all these things that interest me, let me bring them into my classes. You know, whether I'm in, you know, high school or whether I'm in college, I get to choose a lot of the things that I dig in and I research and the papers that I write and the questions that I answer. And you can be asking those really curious questions that engage you, that excite you, and dig in and read and, you know, research and educate yourself more in them. There's mm-hmm. also a whole world of people who want to help you, which is the thing that, you know, you take for granted. You don't realize it. But there are employers and businesses and organizations that want to invest in your education too. They want to train you. They want They want to give you the help that they wanted at the time. Same thing with alumni. Like if you're part of a group or an association or a university or your high school, wherever, clubs, there's somebody either in there now or somebody from the past that just because you're there and just because you're trying, they want to have those conversations and they want to support you. So being a student is actually this awesome opportunity to jump ahead and give yourself that exposure in a way that you can really build your own community.
That's a really, really powerful message. I think there's a lot of students, they just kind of are in school and they're just kind of going through the motions. They're given an assignment and they just kind of, they do the assignment. But I think it's a really important message to say, hey, if you're given that assignment, think about it a little bit. You know, how do you want that assignment? You know, what do you want to do for that assignment, right? You know, what interests you? I think that's hugely important, right?
I know. We keep fast-forwarding to the end. We want the end answer, but there's all these pieces that add up.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, I guess, it's as I've heard this phrase many times. It's not about the destination; it's about the journey, right? Because you may have a certain destination where you think you're going to go, but there may be a better place for you. That's not necessarily that destination; maybe an entirely different destination, and you kind of need to leave yourself a little bit open to what the possibilities are. But then at the same time, you've got to steer the course a little bit so that it steers right in the direction that feels good to you, that fits right with your gut feel about something.
Right.
I mean, you can talk about that very much, about intuition and having, I was talking about that third eye earlier, tuning into that intuition.
And if we think about this just logically, I often, when I meet with somebody, will ask them, like, how do you like to make decisions? Do you like to make them with the heart or the gut or the head? But if we take that, I love that phrase, like it's the journey, not the destination, because how much time are you spending in journey? If you think about, right, I'm a student and I'm building up to get a degree to transition into the destination of this job, but you're investing depending on the program, anything from 2 to 10 years straight in the journey. So if you're grinding your teeth and biting the whole way through, that's just, your time is so valuable. Like, I believe everyone's time is limited. It's our one non-renewable resource. And it's so important that I think it should be pleasurable. I think it should be exciting and it should fire you up, that you want to do more. That feedback loop of, I'm really curious and I'm interested, so I want to do more, so I keep exploring, so I get better at whatever I'm doing, so I want to learn more. Like, it just keeps going back and forth between learning and interest and skill building, so you want to keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you touched on something earlier in this response, talking about thinking, thinking with the head, thinking with the heart, thinking with the gut. And I remember it's really important though to have a balance there. And I remember I was going through kind of a transition, and a friend of mine coached me to take a piece of paper and draw a line through the middle of it. And in the top of the paper, put how I was feeling in my head and how whatever I was looking, trying to assess how it felt logically in my head. And then on the lower part of the paper, she said, okay, now how does it feel, what's your heart response to this? And it was, really interesting because the two things were actually quite different. Does that make any sense?
It makes total sense. And it also tells you where you can feel, if they are in conflict, then when you're feeling that internal conflict, you're like, it just isn't sitting right. Now you have that kind of data in front of you that says, oh, no wonder these things aren't in alignment.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. So what about, I'm just curious, what about students that are just so completely uncertain and stuck? It's like to the point where they don't even know where to start. And it could be a freshman that's just gotten in, or maybe some a little further along who suddenly, like, you know, like I was at certain points, you know, with the insurance thing, this just is not me. Where do I go from here? Right?
Well, yeah, and I liked when you were telling the story and kind of how I summarized some of the elements of one of the stories you were telling ahead of time was about openness, reflection, and that understanding it's a journey. So let me take the pressure off. There's lots of different tools. So if I'm totally stuck and I'm not sure, I always tell people they say they're stuck, but then when I talk to them, I realize they're not as stuck as they think. It's just a matter of where your starting place is. So sometimes it's an elimination game where you go, okay, everything's gray and fuzzy. I'm not sure what I like, but I know what I don't like. I know what I can't picture. And that feels good. It's like checking off your list, right? So I all of a sudden can eliminate some stuff that helped me. There's a bunch of great reflection tools that I like to
use. Okay, let's hold that thought, and we're going to delve into that in the next segment, okay? So we're going to take a pause here. Listeners, thank you for joining us here on the Storywalking Radio Hour. You can help us grow our community of listeners and difference makers so we can work together to build a better world. All of the Storywalking podcasts are free online. So you can go to storywalking.com website and learn more, and then you can share this with other people. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, and we're talking with Audra Lavoie, Career Education Specialist at the University of Rhode Island, about exploring green career pathways. And our conversation will continue after this station break.
Why would God design a heart-shaped flower that cries? In a picture book titled The Angel Heart, a curious child picks such a flower and carefully pulls it apart, one poetic petal at a time, to reveal the answer. Discover the miracle of the heart and its role in providing comfort, joy, and peace. Written in the language of love, this uplifting story is sure to open up conversations about emotions, spiritual beliefs, the circle of life, or even fairy magic. Give your favorite child the gift of love. The Angel Heart by Wendy Natterney-Fashon, available through Amazon and Balboa Press. How can you make a difference on this crazy planet? Listen to nature-inspired stories and interviews with environmental educators for some new ideas. Sustainable Living News writer, nature walker, and youth educator Wendy Natterney-Fashon hosts the Story Walking Radio Hour to talk about issues that matter and to introduce you to people who are coming up with creative, sensible solutions. Let's engage with Earth, with spirit, and with one another, heart to heart, to solve problems and co-create more meaningful life stories. Tune in to Nature's Loving Vibes every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
High school student Neil Fashon dreamed of leading other young people away from hopelessness to helpfulness, from loneliness to friendship, and from inertia to difference making. Then, in college, he was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. After Neil died at age 20, his mother, Wendy, began to sort through the memorabilia he'd accumulated over the years. Artwork, notebooks, journals, personal notes, and letters. She's assembled these memories into a timely ebook called The Difference Maker. Parents and teens will appreciate this collection of stories about kindness, resilience, faith, and love. Go to thestorywalking.com website, download The Difference Maker, and become inspired.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, we're back on the Story Walking Radio Hour here on the syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, and we're talking with Audra Lavoie, Career Education Specialist at the University of Rhode Island, about exploring green career pathways. So let's jump back in. Okay, Audra, we're starting to talk about some tools. How about if you pick it up from here? Okay.
Sure. So there's lots of great tools. I think, you know, I had said exposure and experience are huge. So if you have those chances to shadow or intern, those are great. But for that person that you had said is like really stuck and at the beginning and they're just trying to narrow it down, see, hey, these are the things I don't want. Some tools I like, there's so many different assessments. And I always give them with kind of a flag ahead of time. Like, the assessment is not going to answer everything for you. It really is meant to be, I use it as a gut reaction. Like, if you do an assessment, a career one, an interest inventory, or an aptitude assessment, any one of these types of assessments, to be able to say, ooh, I didn't like that answer, or, oh, you know, I have wondered about it. Those are great gut checks to begin to say, okay, I keep leaning. Ultimately, we're trying to find patterns. And so there are also things like wander mapping, which is essentially brainstorming. You give yourself a question, you give yourself a certain amount of time, and you kind of just doodle. You write down words, you draw pictures. It's free flowing. Same thing with Ikigai. Ikigai is a Venn diagram, but it talks something about what you were saying before with purpose and skills that you want to use. And ultimately, what we're trying to do is say, what do these things have in common? So you had given your journey, you look back at your journey, and you say, okay, I can see that no matter where I've been, these were the elements I was bringing in. When I look back at my journey, I can see, for me, there's an environmental thread. And now I am not an environmental researcher. I am not working in husbandry. Like, I'm not doing the science side of environmental, but my father's a forester. I grew up at the parks. I, you know, worked at a zoo. I did different environmental programs. I love it. It's just a field where I'm always learning and curious and interested, and I find it really interesting and exciting. And how I fit in that pattern, it goes with the interest, but it also goes with my pattern of working directly with people, normalizing and being, I'm comfortable when other people are uncomfortable. I understand it's normal. I'm good at writing. I'm good at being able to do that storytelling and working with you. And so I can take all those skills, I can take that interest area, and I can bring that to a meaningful place for me and for those that I work with. So kind of taking yourself out and saying, I'm not going to put pressure. I'm just going to doodle. I'm just going to kind of do these gut checks. But when I've done them, I'm going to look back and say, what themes keep coming up? Right. Sometimes this is tough to do on your own. And so having conversations, talking to career services, talking to your guidance counselor, and not wanting an answer, just wanting to know, okay, what do I want to look more into? No one else can answer it for me, but I know they know stuff, and they can tell me, hey, look into these fields or this industry, and that might help make those pieces come together.
Sure, sure. Now, you ever have students work with students, like with each other, in terms of trying to help each other work through some of these questions?
Yeah. We definitely will have students who, yes, so we have mentors who are students who are working with underclassmen, and they're kind of explaining, hey, I had this internship, or this was a class I took, and this is how it became meaningful. We do have ambassador programs where we have students working with other students. I actually am in the process of working on that with our student veteran population at URI, because, you know, we each kind of want somebody that we identify with, and whether we are somebody who is considered a non-traditional student, if I am a veteran, if I am somebody who's an underclassman, like, I want another person I can identify with. So that can be super powerful, and there can be an openness that somebody might not have with me in that situation.
Right, right. Okay. Now, I wanted to sort of step back a little bit now, because, you know, I work with, in my teaching, I work with elementary age students and some middle school students. And I just have this very strong belief that students at even a young age can benefit from starting to explore career options at that younger age. And one of the reasons I say this is I had been running after school programs. And I did a survey of, this was like third and fourth graders, and just, you know, simple questions like, what do you want to do or be when you grow up? And it was really interesting. The kids, the answers were primarily teacher, doctor, policeman, and I think maybe singer. Oh, and also like a sports athlete, like, you know, a star soccer player or whatever. But these are all things that kids are exposed to day to day. You know, they go to class and they know what a teacher does because the teacher's right there in front of the room, right? Or they know the policeman in their neighborhood, or they go to the doctor for their checkup. So they know those things, but there's like all these other possibilities out there. And, you know, how do we start to expose younger kids to all these possibilities and expand their dreams? I just would be curious in your thoughts on this.
Yeah, so I want to break this one down. I'm going to break it into three categories, and then kind of what I'm going to say is a reality check. So I think for my three categories, it is exposure, reflection, and why this matters. So exposure being what you're talking about, like what exists, what's out there. You know, one of the things that there, and I have two children, they're ages 8 and 10, so, and I work in career services, so we're talking careers all the time. and we'll do stuff like, you know, we go to a store or there's a building or something, and I will ask, you know, who do you think works in that building? And we'll talk about what we think that building, you know, what the company's about. And then knowing what the company's about, what does that mean? And what are all the components that would come in to making that company work inside the building? But then, oh gosh, what comes from outside the building that makes that company work? So we can go into a grocery store and talk about, well, gosh, I can see the manager and the cashier at the grocery store. But also we see people who are stocking. Okay, well, we know that there's probably other parts to that grocery store of, there's got to be somebody who knows how to work the computer system. And there's got to be somebody who's telling people that this grocery store exists, so marketing. And gosh, how do they get their supplies? So now we're talking about, you know, people who are making whatever the product is, but then transporting it. So we can really kind of take something and dig into it.
I think for educators, you know, one thing that they can do is look to a university and say, like, I don't need to know the specific jobs. We can, and that can be helpful because we are storytellers by nature, and we want that outcome, and we want to see that, what could this be? But also, I can look and just say, what are the industries that are out there? What are, if I look at a university, how do they break down their colleges? Because this kind of gives me sectors. One of the things that I think is so huge in this area is when we talk about exposure is like seeing somebody who looks like me in that field. So, for example, we have a student group called SWIC, and it's the Society of Women in Computing. And I've spoken to these students, and they're like, oh, I wish when I was in high school or elementary school that I saw women doing technology, because I didn't know that there was a place for me, and basically I was brave to pursue it versus I belonged there, you know? So I think that exposure piece is so big. And then the reflection of, you know, once again, those educators can say, well, what skills do you want to use? Who do you want to help? How do you want to help them? A lot of times, you know, all of us, we picture something, and what we picture and we break down those elements, that could be applied to so many different areas, you know? The why part, and you and I had talked about this before, my oldest daughter and myself are big why people. Like, if I understand why I'm doing something, then I'm all in and I will excel. But if I'm just doing it, then it's hard. So for our educators I need to know the impact. And I think a lot of people share that, which makes tons of sense. So, you know, my older daughter wants to be an engineer, but wants to be an engineer that helps animals. Great. So let's talk about, you know, engineers really need to know math. Like, we need to know math when we go to the grocery store, but we also need to know math because engineering is something that you're curious about, and engineers are good at math. So I think those, the why. The last part where I wanted to say the reality check, I know there's a lot of pressure on our educators. You know, the professional group I work with, it's the Rhode Island Career Development Association. We have K-12 as one of our members, and they constantly struggle because there's so many requirements that come down. And I think what we can do is say, you know, we talk to employers all the time, and employers definitely need that technical skill set, but there's some universal stuff. What they're asking for are for their candidates to have these life skills of communication, interpersonal skills, leadership, of analytical skills, and flexibility and taking initiative. And so, you know, for a teacher to add something to their plate, that's challenging. But these might be things, and I know teachers, I work with our local school, they're already doing them. It just might be saying, hey, do you guys know all the cool things that you're building and learning and how great you're doing and how this is going to help you when you're on the soccer team, but also when you're doing that other thing that interests you later on?
Yeah. Wow. So much great stuff. We're going to have to wrap up. But boy, I think we've talked about a lot of really important things today. It's time to conclude this episode. And Audra, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your experience and your wisdom and your own story. Listeners, you can learn more about career learning pathways offered at the University of Rhode Island's say College of Environmental Life Sciences, is one of many colleges there. They've got undergraduate programs of study that include like biological science and environmental science and management. wildlife and conservation biology, marine biology, green business, plant sciences, sustainable agriculture and food systems. There's a lot to explore. And we're going to try and provide some special resource links related to today's show on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network podcast page for this episode, so you can find more information there. If you all enjoyed this episode, please share it with family and friends. Audra, I wish I had more space here for you, but thank you. The Storywalking Radio Hour airs on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen online or on your mobile device anywhere, anytime. For a full schedule of Dream Vision 7 Radio programming, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thank you for joining us here today on the Storywalking Radio Hour. I'm your host, Wendy Natterney-Fashon, with Audra Lavoie, and we are wishing you all the very best as you continue along your lifelong pathway of exploration. So, again, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, the Storywalking Radio Hour has covered a lot of ground. Please join Wendy Natterney-Fashon next time for a new edition of the Storywalking Radio Hour. This show airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Listen live on dreamvision7radio.com, where you can also access archives of previous Storywalking Radio Hour episodes. Find them under the Sustainable Living section and visit the storywalking.com website, where you can contact Wendy to learn more about the practice of storywalking.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.